1 John chapter 1, go ahead and stand. Would you find your place there if you would? Again, thank you for coming. Some are visiting from out of state, some are here in town. And I hope you find a home here. I hope hope you feel at home here. If you're looking for some deep doctrinal preacher, probably haven't found him here. I'm not the smartest. I don't claim to be the smartest. I'm not that smart anyway. I pray we preach everything I know this morning, which isn't very long. So I'll get you out of here in time for lunch. But anyway, thank you for coming and being with us. 1 John chapter 1, verse number 1. It says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifest, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, and walk in darkness, we lie, and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. You can be seated. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for all you've done for us today. Lord, thank you for allowing us to be here. Thank you for giving us the health and strength to be here. Lord, I pray you help me this morning as I preach. Lord, I pray you give me words to say to help this congregation. Lord, I pray you have me behind the cross. Lord, I pray they wouldn't know me, but they'd know you this morning, Lord. And I pray your will be done here in Jesus' name. Amen. I've had a heavy heart for the past couple weeks now on this subject, concerned with what God would have me to do, concerned for you, burden for this church, burden for the future of this church. I've had a lot on my mind and on my heart. The devil's been fighting me, and some know some things. Nobody knows everything. I haven't thought about everything except the Lord. I'm not saying for pity or anything like that. I'm not looking for pity. I'm just being honest with you. And I believe there's probably many of you here that feel the same way. Just burdened. Maybe just tired. Maybe just tired of 2020. Come on now. Some people are probably just tired of 2020. Anyway, maybe that's just me. Nobody's agreeing this morning. Me and Miss Arlene. This year has been something else. So I think we all have a little bit of this burdening on us now. Can we all agree on that? We're all burdened about something. We're tired about just, can we all agree at some point? Maybe not at this moment. Y'all looking at me like I'm crazy. Anyway, get past that. We're just tired, maybe confused, maybe burdened. If you're not, give it a little while. It'll probably come. I know it's encouraging this morning. It's going to come. Anyway, but if we're not careful, we'll get our eyes off the main focus here, which we've been singing about this morning, which should be on the Lord and on his story and telling everybody else that story. If we're not careful, we'll get our eyes off of him and what he would have us do, and we'll lose our joy. If you feel like that, if you feel like you're missing your joy, maybe not right now, maybe you have before. Maybe you're tired. Maybe you're weary. Maybe you're just tired of the battle. I've been there before. I've been there recently. He's tired of the battle. And you feel like you're tired of just not having joy. You're not supposed to be that way. You ought to be able to have some joy. If anyone is going to have joy in this world, it ought to be the church. If anyone could be happy this morning, it ought to be us. If the church can't be happy, we can't have joy in the midst of a trial, then what hope has the rest of the world if we can't be happy? We ought to be the ones that have some kind of joy about us. If you're saved here this morning, if you have trusted Christ, your personal Savior this morning, you don't have to go to hell. It ought to be something to praise the Lord about. It ought to be something to be happy about. It ought to be something to have some joy about you. You can praise God for that. You say, well, everything else is going wrong. You don't have to worry about that. You can trust him this morning. You ought to be able to smile about something. Yes, we're in a weird time in this world, in this nation. No, I don't like everything going on. The Lord has saved your soul if you're saved this morning. It's okay to be excited about that. You can all be excited at one time. Now take turns. Where is your joy at, church? Where is your joy at? Few smiles here, not very many. So maybe this is the message this morning. Where's your joy at? It's not all gloom and doom. Yes, I believe the Lord is coming back, and I believe he's coming back soon. It's looking like more than more like that every day. But if you're saved, that's a good thing for us. The Lord is coming back. It's a good thing. I have joy about that. The Lord has burdened me about this thing of joy, about my joy. I don't want to be a stick in the mud or a Debbie Downer or a party pooper. Now he calls me all the time. I don't want to be that way. If anybody don't have joy, it ought to be me. I want to be you. Brother Milford Bell, I don't know if you ever heard of him before. He's a popular preacher all over the East Coast, and probably beyond that. He's passed away now, but he is known for his Bible memorization. He's like a walking Bible. All the time he's preaching, he's quoting scriptures the entire time. It's amazing to see. But his wife, I never got to meet her, but she was, I've been told, probably one of the godliest ladies to ever live, a prayer warrior like none other. And she used to say all the time, she's just going to enjoy the trip. What she meant was, yes, she's on her way to heaven, but she's not going to wait till she gets to heaven to be happy. And that's enjoy now in this life. It's okay to enjoy your trip. It's okay to have fun on the way there. It's okay to be happy about it. I don't know about you, but I want to start now. I don't want to be miserable this entirely. Yes, I'm looking forward to heaven, and I'm thankful we get to go there one day, but I don't want to be miserable until I get there. We can enjoy it now. The Lord's talking to preach just a few minutes on this morning on how to have joy. This book of 1 John, it's an interesting book. It does not say who it is from. The title does, but the scripture itself does not say who it's from or who the recipient is. 1 John doesn't. Most all agree by the writing that it was written by John, the son of Zebedee, or John the Beloved, the same man there. The same John that wrote the Gospel of John, the same man that wrote Revelation. This is Jesus' disciple, John, John the Beloved. This John was no foreigner to trials himself. Don't forget that John was the one that was exiled to the Isle of Patmos for his beliefs when he wrote the book of Revelation. That's where he found that. This John is no foreigner to trials and heartaches and fears. This John witnessed Jesus Christ, his friend, and be tortured and hung on a cross and suffered and bleed and die and buried in a tomb. He got to see that. John is no foreigner to heartaches. This John saw Judas get called out at the Last Supper. He would betray Jesus Christ, his friend, while he was laying on Jesus Christ. John was no foreigner to troubles and trials and heartaches. I think you get the point. But what does it say in 1 John, verse number 4, chapter 1, verse number 4? And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. John says in that verse, I'm going to tell you how your joy may be full. This John has been through a lot of things, been through all those things I just mentioned, and many more. He's going to tell us how we can have joy. That John has been through those trials can have joy and can tell us how to get it. If anyone would have the secret to joy and hardships, I dare say John would probably know how to do that. Wouldn't you agree? It'd probably be wise for us to look and learn what he has to say on this subject. How to have joy. I believe John just might have a secret for it. I know this year has been tough and it's not even over yet. That's encouraging too. But it pales in comparison to what John went through and what he will eventually go through for Christ. He hasn't been through everything yet. I may complain, but if I look at men like John and like Paul and like Peter, I have to hang my head. If they can have joy, I can shut my mouth and get over it. If John can have joy, if Paul can sing songs while in the prison in the middle of the night, what is our excuse? It's time we get our joy back. Imagine what God could do in this town if everyone from New Hope Baptist Church had a newfound joy about him. People want to know what the secret was. People want to know what the difference is. There ought to be a difference in us. That's the way it ought to be. Don't you want that? I don't know about you, but I want that. John here is going to give us the answer to it. He has a secret to joy. It's not that complicated. Number one, I'm going to go down to this chapter here. Number one, we see the realness of Jesus. The secret to having joy is realizing the realness of Jesus Christ. In verse number one, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. The life was manifest and we have seen it and bear witness and shown you that eternal life, which is with the Father, was manifested unto us. Who is John talking about here? I think we all know. That which was from the beginning. There's only one thing, there's only one person, one thing at all that was from the beginning, that's God. In the beginning was God. He ends it with the word of life, verse number one. In your Bible, that word should be capital. The word should be capitalized. First letter there. That is none other than Jesus Christ. John 1:1. The author wrote the same thing. In the beginning was the Word, capital W-O-R-D. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John said, that which is from the beginning, talking about God, talking about Jesus Christ. John says, which we have heard. John, being a disciple, got to hear Jesus speak. Which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon. John got to look on Jesus. John got to see Jesus face to face. Got to look on his face to speak with Jesus. He says, and our hands have handled. John got to touch Jesus Christ. We know more disciples did as well. Like Thomas said in John 20:25, the other disciples therefore said to him, we have not seen the Lord. He said to him, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand to his side, I will not believe. We know Thomas got to do that. He got to touch Jesus Christ. John continues in verse number 2 of this 1 John. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and shown you that eternal life, which is with the Father, was manifested unto us. That word manifested means to render apparent. It means to appear. John says the word of life says we got to see him, we got to hear him, we got to touch him, because he was manifested to us. He was brought to earth to live, to be with us, and then to die. He appeared unto us. John says that your joy may be full. Why will your joy be full? Start off with the remembering who Jesus is. Start to remember the realness of Jesus Christ. John says, when I look back, remember him. Him that is from the beginning. Him that I've heard. Him that I've saw. Him that I've touched. My joy can be full. John is an extra special disciple. John the beloved. Beloved of Jesus. John had his head right in the right place. Turn to John chapter 13. Hold your place here in 1 John. In terms of the Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, chapter number 13. We'll be going back and forth between the Gospel and the Epistle a few times here this morning, so keep your Bibles open. The Gospel of John, chapter 13, verse number 23. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. And then we know the Gospel of John does not ever mention his own name. It's written by him. The one he's talking about whom Jesus loved, that's talking about John the disciple. Verse 24. Simon Peter therefore beckoned him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then lying on Jesus' breast and him, Lord, who is it? John had his head in the right place. There at the Last Supper there, Jesus tells him one is going to betray them. John laying his head on Jesus' chest, with his head on the heart of God, he says, Lord, who is it? I'm going to show you something here real quick about John, something another preacher showed me. Hold your place here in both those places if you got that many fingers. Turn to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. Hopefully you have that many fingers this morning. Matthew 26 says in verse number 21. It's the same story here we're reading about in the Gospel of John, the same story as from Matthew's perspective. Matthew 26:21, and as they did eat, he said, verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? You don't have to turn there, you're probably running out of fingers. Mark chapter 14, verse number 18, and as they sat and did eat, Jesus said, verily I say unto you, one of you which eateth with me shall betray me. And they began to be sorrowful and said to him one by one, is it I? And another said, is it I? They're at the Last Supper. You can turn back to the Gospel of John now. They're at the Last Supper. Jesus says, one of you is going to betray me. The disciples, one by one, began to ask him, Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I? Will I betray you? But look at what John says. John chapter 20, verse number 25. He then lying on Jesus' breast, saying to him, Lord, who is it? Everyone else is worried and pain, says, Lord, is it I? Am I going to be the one that's going to betray you? John leaning over on Jesus with his head on the heart of God. He said, Lord, who is it? Everyone else says, is it I? John says, I know it's not me. Who is it? Why is that? Because John knew that there was no way he was going to betray Jesus Christ. He is John the beloved because he loves God. Why is that? Because he had his head in the right place. John could hear the very heartbeat of God. He laid his head on Jesus' breast. He could hear the heart of God. He had his head in the right place. You get your head in the right place, these temptations won't be so hard. You get your head in the right place, and others are tempted to betray Jesus, you'll be able to say, Lord, who is it? Back in 1 John again, hopefully you still got your place there. Back in 1 John, John says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard. I wonder if John can still hear the voice and the heartbeat of Jesus. When he's writing this, he says, and our hands have handled. You got to put his arms around Jesus. John says that your joy may be full. Why was John's joy full? Was it because life was easy? No, definitely not. Was it because God has just made life a rose garden for John because he was a beloved? And everything was just so simple for him. No persecution, no loneliness, none of those things. Definitely not. According to history, this John is going to die a martyr by being thrown in a big pot of boiling oil. The Bible doesn't say how he dies. That's what history says. He died that way. John did not always have an easy life. John's joy was full. Why? How can you say that? Because Jesus was real to John. He's heard Jesus speak. He's been close to him. He's heard the very heartbeat of God. He's been near him. He's heard his voice. He's touched him. And he says, it's worth it. John said, I can face these trials. I can go through anything in this life because of him. And I can do it with joy because I know that he is real and he's going to take care of us. I saw who he was and I heard him. I heard the very heartbeat of God. I touched the very Son of God. I laid my head on the very Son of God. He said, I've looked on him with my eyes. John says, he's real. He's real and I can have joy about it. Church, I can assure you this morning, he's real. How can you have joy in such a hard time? because Jesus is real. He really did come. He really did die for me. He really did rise again. It's not some myth. It's not some made-up story. He's going to do what he said he's going to do. He doesn't make any promises he can't keep. And he promised he'd never leave us nor forsake us. How can we have joy in a hard time? Because Jesus is real. Realness of him. He promised he'd forgive sin. How can we have joy today? Because he's real. If you'll spend some time in prayer and in the Word of God, let him be made real to you. You can have joy whatever trial may come. I'm not going to say it's going to be easy. Trials will definitely come. But if Jesus is real to you, if you really believe he is who he says he is, it's going to be okay. We're going to have joy this morning. Number two. Number one, we see the realness of Jesus. How can we have joy? The realness of him. Number two, the realness of fellowship. Verse number three. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. You want to know how to have joy in hard times? Have fellowship with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Fellowship with the Father and with Jesus. John says, I'm telling you these things. I'm telling you about him. And also going to tell you how much more in the rest of the epistle, so you can share in the fellowship with us and the fellowship with God, the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. You want to know how to have joy? Restore your fellowship with Jesus. You say, well, what does that mean? Webster's 1828 dictionary defines fellowship as a companionship, a society, a constant or mutual association of persons on equal and friendly terms. It means to be a friend to Jesus. It means to spend some time with Jesus. Back to book Gospel of John again. Hold your place in 1 John. Gospel of John chapter 15. I'm going to read a few verses here. Gospel of John, chapter 15. You don't mind if I read the Bible in church, do you? Nobody's listening. Okay. Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse number 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and when men gather him and cast him into the fire, they are burned. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. As I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. If you have a red letter Bible, all of those are written in red. That's Jesus speaking on his way to the garden. They're speaking to the disciples. Jesus says, if you will abide in me, I will abide in you. I am the vine, you're the branches. What is that? That's fellowship with the Father, fellowship with Jesus Christ. What does Jesus say in verse number 11? These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. And that your joy might be full. Here's the secret. Remain in Jesus. Remain in fellowship with him. Have real fellowship with him. He'll put his joy in you. And then your joy might be full. You say, how can I have joy in 2020? How can I have joy in such a hard time, in such a trying time? It comes with the fellowship of Jesus Christ. Our friend. He calls us his friend. He says that my joy might remain in you. It's all about him. Jesus said, I'll call you not servants. We deserve to be called slaves or less, but I've called you friends. Jesus tells me, he says, you're my friends. The followers of Jesus, the disciples, sinners, the very friends of Jesus. Can you imagine being a friend of God? John said, your joy can be full because he's real and his fellowship is real. You see, the fellowship of a friend. Proverbs 18:24 says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Thankful for Jesus. Thankful for his fellowship of a friend. You want joy? Return to the fellowship with Jesus. Be a friend to Him. Fellowship and spend some time with Him. Webster gives a few more meanings of that word fellowship. His third definition says this. It says a partnership, joint interest as fellowship in pain. And so how can I have joy in all this pain I've been through? How can I have joy in such hard times as I've had? You want to know how? Hebrews 4:15 tells us. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but as all points kept as like as we are, yet without sin. You can have joy because of the realness of this fellowship in suffering. With the feeling of our infirmities, it says that means Jesus understands your pain. Jesus knows what you're going through. We often, as preachers, like to say things like, well, God's been through more than we ever imagined, so we'll be okay. And that's true, and that's the truth. And He suffered more than I could ever imagine suffering. When we say that, it often doesn't help the ones that are hurting. Because your greatest pain feels worse than anything at the moment, but you know what might help? Realizing the realness of the fellowship of Jesus in your suffering. He says, I know what you're feeling. John says that your joy might be full. How can your joy be full even in suffering? Because you can rest assured Jesus understands. Jesus knows. He says the feelings of our infirmities. God knows what you're going through. He's not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He knows what pain feels like. He knows what he's been here on earth. He knows what it feels like. You know what the infirmities there means in Hebrews? It means feebleness. Hebrews says God understands and He fellowships in your feebleness. He knows what you're going through. How can you have joy in pain, joy in hardship? Because of the fellowship of Jesus Christ. We have all kinds of folks in our church that have been through trials this past year, been through hard times and troubles and health problems and pain this year. You say, now you're preaching on joy, preacher. How can I have joy? But it's not about me and you. It's not about how our flesh feels. It's about Him. He fellowships in our suffering. He fellowships as a friend. It said over in John 15 that your joy might remain, that His joy might remain in you. It comes from Him. It's not about us. We can have peace that passes all understanding in this year because of the realness of Jesus Christ. Realness of His fellowship. It says in Philippians 2:1, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, fulfill you my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. As Paul's letter to the Philippians, talks about the fellowship of the Spirit, being in fellowship in the church. You can have joy because of the fellowship of the Spirit. We see the realness of fellowship. It's a real thing. You really can spend time with God. You really can fellowship with God. He really does understand what you're going through. Fellowship with Jesus. It sounds good. And it looks good on paper. It sounds good in a sermon. But how do I get it? How do I get there? How can I personally have fellowship with Jesus Christ? And preacher, I hear you. I know what you're saying. But how do I get that? If I need to have joy, then how do I get it? John spends the rest of the first chapter of 1 John telling us how to get it. Number 3, how to have fellowship with God. Verse number 5. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. Pretty simple. No confusion there. God is light, no sin, no filth, no perversions. Perfect light, no darkness. How can us sinners have fellowship with someone that's perfect? Verse number 6. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If we believe we can continue living wickedly in the world and have fellowship with God, John says you're a liar. If you think you can do that, you're lying. There are a lot of folks today that they live like the world, occasionally pop into church service and pop back out of church. If you met them on the job or in town, you've never noticed anything different about them than the rest of the world. They talk the same, they walk the same, they look the same, they commit all the same sins as the rest of the world does. John says you're a liar if you think you can have fellowship with Him and continue living wickedly. John says you're a liar. I didn't say it. What John said. I defeated him. James says, a friend of the world has enmity with God. You can't ride the fence. You got to decide who you want to fellowship with. You want to fellowship with sin, fellowship with Satan, or you want to fellowship with Jesus Christ. I talked to the teens Friday night about being different, how it's okay to be different. It's okay to stick out from the crowd. What's that verse say? And be ye not conformed to this world, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's okay to be different. You can't live like the world and also have fellowship with God. Verse number 7, the same chapter. But if you walk in the light, as He is in light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. If we walk in the light, like Jesus, we have fellowship with Jesus. It's pretty simple. That's hard to live up to. That's why John adds on the next part of this verse. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. just in case you thought you had to walk in the light on your own, John says it's His blood that cleanses us and allows us to walk in the light. It's His blood that washes away the sin that allows us to walk in the light. Verse number 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Verse number 10, if we say that we have not sin, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. You say you don't have sin, you're a liar. You say you don't have sin, you make Him a liar. And God doesn't lie. He says it right there, and the truth is not in us. And what is the solution? We know from verse 6, we can't walk in darkness and have fellowship with God. We can't do those two things, can't put them together. We can't live in sin and have fellowship with God. John made that very clear. And John tells us to have fellowship, we must walk in light. Okay? But then he also tells us that we're all sinners. We are all sinners. If we say we're not, we're lying. So at some point or another, we're all walking in darkness. So how can we have fellowship? So does that mean that we cannot have fellowship? I don't believe that. And fellowship is the key to joy. So can we not have joy? Of course not. We know that's not the case. John said joy can be full. So what's the solution here? We're all sinners. You say you're not, you're a sinner, you're a liar. So you walk in darkness. We realize that. If you walk in darkness, you cannot have fellowship with God. We realize that. So how do we walk in the light? Verse number 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Here's the key to fellowship with God. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Keep a short list with God. You don't get this confused with salvation here. We're not talking about salvation at this point. We're talking about fellowship with God, with Jesus Christ. After you're saved, if you sin like we all do, according to John, we're all sinners. Even after you're saved, you don't become perfect. I promise you, you don't. Thank goodness you don't, because that would mean I'm not saved. After you're saved, you cannot lose your salvation. I talked about that last week. Salvation is forever. If you're a sheep, no man can pluck you out of his hands. But you can lose fellowship with Jesus Christ. You can lose your joy. Anyone ever done that before? Man, I have. I've lost my joy about it. You ever get so busy even with good things, not saying doing bad things, even busy with good things, you get your mind off of Him. You just lose your joy about it. Maybe even things in the church. You just get tired of going and going and going and maybe not seeing results for some time. You get the feeling, well, what's the point? What happened? What's the reason? Why do I even go? You've lost your joy. Why? Most likely because you've lost fellowship with God. You see, there's more to this life than just being forgiven of sin, than never doing anything else for God. There's more to this life than just being forgiven and living like the world the rest of your life. There's more to it than that. You can have a relationship. You can have fellowship with God the Father through His Son, Jesus Christ. It's the key if you want to have joy in life, fellowship with God. John says, if you walk in darkness, no fellowship. You want fellowship, walk in light. How can we walk in light? If we all occasionally slip up, walk in darkness, how can we walk in the light? Because He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. If I'm mad about something or I can't come down here and go straight into study and expect the Lord to speak to me. If me and Natalie have a disagreement, an argument, I know y'all don't ever do those things. We do disagree from time to time. I can't come down here and immediately go to study and expect God to give me something from His Word to speak to me. Why? I've messed up my fellowship. There's sin between us. I have to get things right with her. And then I have to ask forgiveness for Him and get things right with Him before I can go on and do something for Him. I have to get things right. If there's any outstanding sin in my life, you can't have free fellowship with Him. You say, I don't know about all this, preacher. It's all right here in the book of John. I'm not trying to make anything up. Fellowship is key for joy. That's what John says. You can't have fellowship if you walk in darkness. We must walk in the light. His blood cleanses us. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive. Now, do I keep a checklist of every sin I commit and go and pray, Lord, forgive me this one, forgive me this? I don't do that because I would get tired of writing because I'm such a terrible sinner. I don't have enough paper. But I humbly come to Him in prayer and seek His face, ask His forgiveness on me again over and over again. Lord, I'm sorry. I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm nothing without You. That's what I personally do. And Lord, You can have fellowship with Him. You don't all have to do it that way. That's the way I start my prayers. Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I'm sorry for what I've done since the last time we spoke. Lord, I know I'm a sinner. What's the point in all this? Why am I preaching all this? I think I lost most of you on that last point over there. We can have fellowship with Him. I'm thankful that He can forgive us our sin. I'm thankful He forgive me. I'm so thankful He wants to be my friend, but even more so, I'm thankful He's willing to forgive me. I'm thankful that He's real. I'm thankful for the fellowship. I'm thankful He's willing to forgive over and over and over again because I sin every day. I'm a nobody. I mess up. I do wrong, but He's always willing to forgive. Every time I ask Him, I don't want to do wrong. I don't desire to do wrong. It's not my heart. I don't do wrong because I know He'll forgive me. I believe if we do that, we're not really confessing our sins. You come to Jesus knowing you're going to do it again. That's not true confession. Every time I humbly ask Him to forgive me and to fellowship with me, He's faithful to forgive me, faithful to fellowship, every time. Here's the thing. God wants to fellowship with you. Jesus spent God the Father sent His Son to earth for you. He wants to fellowship with you. He came all the way to earth to bleed and to suffer and to die. He did it for you. He did it for me. Of course He wants to spend time. He calls us His friends. James 4:8 says, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, He says, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. What does James say? Cleanse your hands, purify your hearts, draw nigh to God. He'll draw nigh to you. You want to have joy? Draw nigh to God. Everything wrong between you and God out of the way. Again, close communion with Him. Close fellowship with Him. Get your head in the right place. Listen to the heart of God like John did. Remember the realness of Jesus. Remember the realness of God. And get to the realness of the fellowship of God. You do that, I promise you, I can tell you from experience, you can have joy in the midst of some of the hardest times of your life. Because it's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about what's going on around us. It's His joy that fills us. It's all about Him. There's nothing like it in all the world. Fellowship with God. I'm a nobody from nowhere. I don't know much of anything. There's been times in my own life where God hasn't been so real. I can't even explain it. I remember in the hospital with Abby down there in Seattle. Things weren't looking so great. We didn't know what was going to come in the next few days. I'd gone downstairs for something. I was coming back up the elevator, and God made Himself real to me. I'd been praying, asking God. I didn't understand what was going on. He made Himself real to me in the elevator. He told me He didn't speak audibly to me. I'm not crazy. He didn't speak audibly to me. But He spoke to my heart. He was going to be okay. He put His arms around me, and I started crying like an idiot there in the elevator. I was praying, hoping nobody would step onto the elevator look like a retard. God is real. You can have fellowship with Him. I mean, it's real. It's worth it to spend time with Him. He's in control. I remember after that, peace that I can't explain, a peace that passes all understanding, joy that I can't explain. What is that? Fellowship with God. The realness of the fellowship with God. Only thing that brings true joy in your heart is fellowship with Him. If you're waiting for this world to bring you joy, you'll be waiting for a long time. If you're waiting for Donald Trump to bring you joy, he makes me laugh, not joy. You're waiting for a long time. If you're waiting for a new house or a new toy or this or that to bring you joy, it's not going to happen. Where does joy come from? Realizing the realness of Jesus and getting in close, real fellowship with Him. Get your eyes on Him again. Spend some time with Him again. Spend some time in prayer and in your Bible. Spend some time with Him and see what happens. I challenge you. Go do it. 1 John 1:4. If these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. You can have joy. It's a real thing. And it really works. It's a real God. You have real fellowship with Him. It isn't some made up fairy tale. It's real. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day. And everything you've given us today, Lord, thank you for the opportunity to be here. Lord, thank you for spending time with me. Lord, thank you for the realness of the fellowship with God. Lord, I pray help us here in the church this morning. Lord, I pray any lost, Lord, to get saved, or it's too late. Lord, any backslidden, pray you claim them. Any looking for a relationship with you, a close relationship with you, Lord, I pray they get that right, Lord, and get with you. Lord, I pray those looking for fellowship, Lord, I pray they find it. Lord, thank you for all you've done for us. Lord, I pray help our church in the days ahead. Lord, I pray us to do something for you here in Jesus' name.